Good morning, church. It is so great to be here with you this morning. My name is Chris, too, for those who don't know me. It's so great to see lots of familiar faces, some old friends. It feels almost like the good old days when we were all back here together. It's great. Hey, Craig. This morning, I'll be speaking a bit in English. I know that you do it usually regularly in Afrikaans. But I know there's some people here that don't really understand Afrikaans, so I'm completely comfortable with speaking English. Is there anyone here that does not understand English? Then you would not even reply to this, so that's okay. Just smile and wave. But it's really a blessing and a privilege for me to speak here this morning, not just in this church as well, but to be here. Because as you heard, I'm from Pretoria. I've been there almost 3 years now, and it's great to be back in George where everything's beautiful and green and not so much traffic. It's great. But bless Pretoria, bless the people there. It is an amazing place too. But hallelujah, it's so great to be here. I don't know if you know, but this time of the year, they call it Easter. Do we know why they call it Easter? Anyone? JH, do you know? Easter Bunny, yes, perhaps, I don't know, yeah. True, true, true. But if we take away all of that stuff, why do we do this time of the year? Why? What happened? Celebrating the death and the rise of Jesus Christ. Because there's the Easter bunnies, there's chocolates, there's all of those influences and all of that stuff. But this morning, I want to take all of our attention away from all of the stuff that this world makes and perverts and creates to take our attention off Jesus and the cross. And let that simply be our focus this morning. Amen. Let it be Jesus. Let it be the cross. And let it be what He has come and done for us. Not what He still needs to come and do. What He has done. So it's in essence back to the basics. The 101 of our faith. And it all starts with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that is our focus. And that is what I want us to celebrate. And that is why it would be amazing to partake in communion right before the service starts, before I share a short word with us, so that our focus and our attention will really be on Jesus. So if we can just start handing out the elements, please. The bread and the, not the wine, the grape juice. And then I would like us just to where we sit, just turn into groups of three or four. If you're here together as a family, turn to your family. But it's completely okay to change the order of the chairs in church. Let's do that quickly. Let's turn into groups of three or four and partake communion together. So let's just wait for the elements to be handed out. Jesus, we thank you this morning for your obedience to live a life, to only do and see that which God has laid on your heart to do and commanded you to do, Lord. And we thank you that your obedience to the death and the death on a cross has given us this ability to know our Father in heaven. We thank you, Jesus, for that burden which you've bore on the cross, that you've taken our sins, you've taken our transgressions, you've taken the separation from our Father all upon yourself so that we can have all the good stuff. Lord, we thank you that everything that we have and know and ever will have and know, we owe it to you and we give to you, Jesus. Because you are the author, you are the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was spilled, which has cleansed us from all iniquities, from all transgressions, from all sin. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and teach us through your word this morning how to live a life that does the blood of Jesus Christ justice. The cross was for a purpose, and it was for us, and it was for a time such as this. Lord, that we want to know you and walk in the fullness of that which you have for us and predestined us to walk into, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just turn our chairs back. I've had the massive privilege of knowing Jesus for about 12 years now of my life, and it's way longer than some of you here. It's much shorter than some of you here, but I'm sure we can all agree that once we've given our lives to Jesus, that wasn't sort of the easiest thing and this last hurdle we had to overcome, and now everything is just easy, right? If that is the case, we need to have a chat, because that is not the God we serve. But I know that we can all testify and agree, and it's great by agreeing and said, to know and to follow Jesus is tough, because it means we need to die to ourselves. Only those who lose their life will find it. Only those who die will live. Jesus said, if you're not able to pick up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. So there is this massive element of us having to sort of, in the weird way, and we struggle to understand it, need to get away from who we are, the things we know, and follow Jesus. Because we can't do both. And we see Paul illustrates the struggle beautifully for me. As he says, it's warring inside of me, the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. So we have that element as soon as we come to Christ, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks clearer and to us more than ever before, and he starts to draw us away, perhaps from old friends, perhaps from an old lifestyle, to something new, to something challenging, to something we didn't even know that we would really love as much as we do currently. So over the past 12 years in following Christ, I've made, I think, more mistakes than I've been obedient. But that is changing. I've seen amazing stuff. I've been to the most incredible and crazy places as the Holy Spirit led me. And you see that the Word of God is alive. You see what God says happens when you preach. It does happen. You see the sick being healed. You see the deaf hearing. You see the blind seeing. You see all of these things happen. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. So Jesus died for us just under 2,000 years ago on the cross. And it is so great that as often as we possibly can, to think back to the cross, to think back to the life of Jesus, to think back to his death, that we can just be thankful and realigned and know that which our King and Savior has done for us. Because I believe if we ever, ever forget that, we become prideful. We perhaps become arrogant. We perhaps just become lost as soon as we forget about the cross. Because that is the foundation of every single Christian. Because of the cross, we have the ability to lay our lives down willingly and then just to simply know our Father. And it's great to think back, to come and remember that which is Jesus has done. But you know what? Jesus didn't die on the cross simply for us to just be thankful for it, simply to celebrate the cross. Because quite frankly, I'm always in this twist to, should I celebrate the cross? Should I just cry? Because when I have communion, just like I'm feeling now, it's this mix between joy and it's this mix between heartbreak. So is that what our lives is about, just to think back to the cross of Christ? It really isn't. Jesus died so that we can have life. And life in abundance. Jesus died so that we can know our Father and walk into the fullness of that which he is calling us to. What is our calling? Simply that where God is calling us to. It's not our calling, it's God's calling on our lives, right? And every single one of you sitting here, whether you've been following Jesus for a year or 100, we all need to know that place and that thing which God is calling us towards and walk in it. Because otherwise we will live a life according to this world, according to the flesh. And yes, we'll go to heaven when we know Jesus and really know him. But you know what? There's sort of a purpose to our life. And that is to seek and save the lost, right? To make disciples, to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus and the cross, and that people have an option now, that just lay down your life and follow Jesus. And the biggest thing that I've seen over this 12 years is when I don't look at the darkness and when I don't look at the sadness, because you know what, when you bring the light, when you bring the gospel to a dark and an unreached tribe in the middle of the Himalayas, you know what they do? They accept Jesus. Immediate transformation happens. They move out of their caves. They move out of wherever they've been living and whatever they've been knowing. And God brings wisdom. He brings enlightenment. He brings healing. He brings truth. And it's a transformation that is happening. And you just see just an immediate shift from lifestyle as they, because of knowing only death and darkness and sadness and emptiness their whole lives, when they get exposed to fullness and love and life and the cross and the truth of Jesus Christ, they don't go back. There's not this contention. There is an element of contention, but there's not as much as a contention in their lives and their communities as which I've come to see over the past 12 years, which is in the church. And this morning I want to talk about one simple word which we don't like to hear in the church because it challenges us. And it challenges us exactly to the place where the enemy has us and occupies us. The thing I see in the church of the West, which is us, the people that have known Jesus for a long time, perhaps grown up in church and all of that, is we keep on struggling with sin. Am I the only one? Yes, there's a couple of us. Great. We keep on struggling with sin. And I know us as Christians, perhaps we've been on our knees, right? Or I hope we've been. And we've been saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, I wanna stop sinning, Lord. I wanna live a life of holiness. I wanna live a life free of all the stuff that I don't want to do. Yes, Lord, I want to stop watching pornography. Yes, Lord, I want to stop wanting to change my image as a girl to look this way, because then I'll find a husband and then I'll be loved and then I'll have purpose. That's so stupid. Single girl, you have purpose. You are loved. You are beautiful. Guy, you don't need to marry to have a wife, to have kids, and then have purpose. So we are occupied with a lot of stuff, and I know, and I look in our faces, and I know as Christians, we want to live a life, a sinless life, right? I do. But we struggle with it. And there's something that God has recently just revealed to me, and it wasn't anything magical, because it's just been in His Word all along. And I believe as soon as I've studied it and delved into it and listened to God's guidance in it, it really changed everything in how I saw myself in relation to the cross, in relation to God, in relation to the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang this just now, but I don't know if you really believe it. We sing where our sins are washed white, right? But still we sin. So how does it work? And I've really just, Father, Holy Spirit, lead me just to come share and speak about this morning, because as soon as I saw this, I just thought about it completely differently, and that led to a certain chain of events, which the fruit thereof is holiness. Right? And this word, which we don't really like to hear so often in church, is the word repent. Right? What does repent mean? What does it mean to repent? The Bible says repent of your sins, right? No. Nowhere in Scripture does it say repent of your sins. It says sinners repent. It says, and you can flag, there's a couple of examples there. Repent, believe, repent, be baptized, repent. Be converted, repent, follow me. There's a lot of cases where Jesus came. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners and to call them to repentance. Repentance of what? What does it mean to repent? Because I believe that there's so long I've heard teachings that, Christy, you need to repent of your sins. But I don't see Scripture backing it up. It says repent of something Whatever it will be, whether it's about baptism, about your conversion, about what you believe in. And then it leads to you not sinning. The word repent itself is a Greek word, metanoia. What does that mean? It means to change the way you think. Repentance means change the way you think. So as much as for such a long time we've seen repentance only as I need to put my sin down here, say, Lord, I repent of it, and walk away from it, but tomorrow, oh my goodness, the same sin is here again. And we sin again, and we keep on sinning, we keep on repenting. Just by the way, you've never repented if you keep on doing it. That's not repentance. So as much as it is something that we need to stop doing, it's more of a battle in our own minds. Jesus came to call the sinners to change the way they think, to change the way they think about themselves. Let me just get my tablet on here. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So God sent Jesus, he made him for this purpose, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What is the righteousness of God in him? It means we have the right standing to be in front of, in the presence of God our Father, who is holy, who has no sin, who is perfect and flawless in all his ways. Can we stand before God being sinful? Can we? Hello? No. Are we awake? Hello? No, we can't, okay? Light and darkness does not coincide. Sin and holiness does not coincide. If we are in the presence as sinful beings, what will happen? Death, right? I'm sure you've had this illustration before with a candle being lit and there's a weird moth in this room. It's drawn to the light, right? The light resembles God's holiness, its purity. The sin, the moth is sinful. If it does not recognize the boundary that sin has to the holiness, what happens to the moth when it flies into the fire? Pfft, right? It's dead. You know what? God's grace is so amazing because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I just have this image of the candle being lit, but there's sort of a glass dome around it, and we start to recognize God. We start to see glimpses of Him when we get saved. But because of our sinful lifestyles, because of the sin in our lives, we can never, we just bump our heads against the steel cage or the glass cage the whole time because we can't be in God, right? Because we are full of sin. And we see ourselves as sinners. We see ourselves as transgression. So in the church is filled with people saying, yes, God feels so far. I can't hear God's voice. Who is God? How do I know I'm hearing His voice? And this is all legitimate and real struggles we have. And then we sort of get to this place of hardened hearts. We start to blame God. But God, I pray, but you never speak back to me. There are merely elements to that, but the first one, it's never God's fault. All right, God is not a meanie. He's perfect. He loves us and He wants to know us. He's the one pursuing us. He's the one wanting to reach out of the glass chamber, just take the sin out of us and bring us closer to Him. But He can't and He never will, because He's gentle and it's our choice to change who we are. So there is this legitimate struggle of us really being imitators of Christ in the church. Because the first thing when I think of Jesus is sinless. We cannot imitate Christ when we have sin in our lives, right? Because that's not Jesus Christ we imitate. It's not Him we reflect. It's not Him we show to this world. And I believe we can get into this place of really living holy lives. God is not calling us to be made holy only when he comes again on his white horse. What's the purpose of us being holy then when it's all over? We are called to be the light in the darkness. We are called to be sinless in a perverted world. We are the opposite of what this world offers us. Jesus being bowed, drawing lines in the sand with a woman caught in adultery. Obviously, we all know the story. The guys are chased away because they all have sin in their lives. And then Jesus, what does he say to the woman? Go and sin no more. You can have one sin a day or two sins a day. Go and sin no. It's Jesus' expectation of our lives to be sinless. God said, be holy, for I am holy. Die appel val nie ver van die boom af nie. Like father, like son, right? If God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you need to be holy, for I am holy. Jesus says, you need to stop sinning because you need to imitate me, and I am everything except sin. So this is a very real, a very clearly spelled out expectation from our Father and from Jesus for us as his followers and his children. And I know that we know this. But I also know that this, instead of being an encouragement, has become a big heavy on us. Right? Who feels, be holy? And you're like, yeah, holy. Now we're like, yes, sin. Think about everything we've done. Kick the dog, swear at your wife. We think of all these things that we've done wrong immediately because we're in defense mode, right? We're in this mode of being just pushed down from the lies of the enemy, being heavy laden, being burdened, even though we've done all the deliverance stuff and we are free from a lot of stuff and that's great and awesome, but somehow we are not free from ourselves. Hello? Does this make sense to all of you? Yes? No? Yes? Hello? Great. So it's amazing. I'm sure we're all awake. Amen. I can read some more scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Not one day, today, right? Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So actually, all of this that I'm saying now leads to this one thing, and it leads to our identities. And what I've seen over the past 12 years is really looking at church and seeing a bunch of hypocritical stuff, seeing a lot of great stuff, seeing a lot of blessing. This is the major thing which I've identified as a struggle in church, is our identities. Because we all come out of different homes, different backgrounds, different cultures, and we sort of adopted that as who we are and who we will always be. We will be a failure. We will be a black guy. We will be a white woman. We will be divorced. We will be pregnant before marriage. We will be all of the stuff which happens to us, and we take it on as who we are. We become CEO. We become pastor. We become father of many. We do great things with our lives, and that becomes who we are. What is our identity? What do we say when someone says, hey, what's your name? Okay. Who are you? What do you do? I'm Christian. I'm the son of God. Who are you? Our work becomes our identity, our title. becomes our qualification. So we live in this life where the world says, perform, 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 excellence, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. And we get so busy living life that we miss life. Jesus said, he came so that we can have life and have it abundantly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means when we have Jesus Christ, hello, we need nothing. You don't need that million rand. You don't need that house. You don't need that car. You don't need that food. You don't need all the stuff that we think we need, which is necessary in some occasions. It's okay to drive a Mercedes. It's okay to have an airplane in some cases. It's all right to have a desire to have all of the things, because God loves to bless us. He gives us desires. He loves to give us amazing stuff. But you know what? If all of that is taken away from us, will we need anything? Then we say no. Right? Because our identity, guess what, also becomes the car we drive. Where we buy our food. Alright? No, it's not who we are. But subconsciously, everything we do and everything we are brainwashed to conform into becomes who we are. And we start to measure ourselves against our mates, against our neighbors. And it is such a waste of time and a waste of life, because Jesus never said, become that person. He said, be you, who I created you to be. Be that person fully. Die to your desires and your stuff, but you be you, pursuing me. Girls are spending half of their lives wanting to look perfect. Great lips, great bodies. Guys, you will never find a wife if you don't have a six-pack. Right, so we get preoccupied with all of this stuff we need to do. It's great to have a six-pack. Also have one under some fat, yeah? But it's winter coming up. It's lekker. And you know what? If I have a six-pack or not, it will never change the way I feel. Because I'm married already. And because God says, Christy, you are perfect. God has never told me anything else. God has never come to me and said, hey, Yomuchu. God has never said, hey, sinner. God has never said, hey, you need to do this and then I will love you. Hey, you need to perform and get a title of CEO, I will love you then. God has always said, hey, my son, my beloved, you are perfect. You are holy. You are everything I've wanted you to be. Whether you are walking your calling or not, would no one change the way I feel about you? But we need to perform for our parents. We need to perform for our bosses. So this is what we've become accustomed to and used to, performance mode. So this morning, simply, the question is, who are you? When was the last time you woke up out of bed? It would be great if there's anyone here like this. You woke up out of bed, you got up, you looked into the mirror. You don't see your ugly face in the morning. Just kidding, you're beautiful. You see Jesus, and you see yourself as, hey, I'm sinless, I'm perfect, and I'm holy. When last did you wake up saying that of yourself? Hey, yes. Lekker. No sin, no guilt, no condemnation. I'm perfect. When last did you wake up looking at yourself like that? Anyone, have you ever done that? Yes! We've got one. Now let me ask a very harsh question. And let me just swallow my tears before I ask it. What does the blood of Jesus Christ mean if we continue living lives of sin and seeing ourselves as sinners? That means Jesus died in vain. Right? Right? If we continue to see ourselves as sinners and needing to have all this stuff and then be happy, needing to marry and then be happy, whatever it is, it's a disgrace to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we should never ever take communion again. So the Bible is very clear, if you do not take the communion in the right order, you drink a curse upon yourself. So how can we be thankful for the cross of Christ, but our lifestyles are completely opposite of what Jesus died for? He didn't die so that we can have bread and wine. He died so that we can live life as He did. Klaar. Finish. That's it. That's the standard. That's the qualification. That's the authority that we have as sons and daughters of the Most High. Holy. Sinless. And this is the reason we keep on struggling with sin. Are you ready? We struggle with sin because our focus in our life is sin. I need to stop watching pornography. And that's what you think. I need to stop watching. Put it on the computer and I put it off. So I need to stop watching pornography. And we keep on focusing on all the things we need to stop doing. But guess what? You keep on doing it. Whether perhaps you've got a breakthrough now to not do it, whatever sin it is, for a couple of months, 2 months down the line, you will do it again. Because it's sort of the struggle that we feel we need to overcome. Jesus said, it is finished. It is overcome. It has been paid for. There's no hurdle except one we take upon ourselves because we believe the lie that the devil speaks over us. You see, the devil has no power over us when we give our lives to Jesus and are baptized in Him. So then the only thing he can really do is to preoccupy us from seeing who God then starts to say we are. I'm out of breath. Let me stand still for a while. I want to read us three short scriptures. Psalm 103 from 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. It's done already. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That means God has forgiven our sins, He has removed it from us, and He will not remember it. God is very good at forgetting. He really is. Why do we have rainbows in the sky? It's for God to remind Himself to never flood the earth again like He did. It's for His remembrance. God is great at forgetting, not because it's a flaw He has, but because He loves us so much, He just wants to keep on forgetting all of our bad stuff. He says He will not remember our sin. We do. You remember your sin. I bet you can remember the stuff you've done 10 years ago. The stuff you've done yesterday. God doesn't. So the devil has gotten it right to preoccupy us with all the stuff we do wrong. And then if our mind is busy, we will just miss God, finish and clear. So He preoccupies us here, and then He preoccupies our hearts, and then we start to walk like this because the enemy has pushed on us our entire life. And we are just every week is just, I just need to get to church for this moment of breakthrough and freedom to hear God's voice. That's not life in abundance. So this morning, and this is difficult for us to hear, I know. It was for me too. God sees you as sinless. He sees you as perfect. He sees you as the righteousness of God in Him. He sees you as worthy to be in His presence. Not because of who you are. It will never be because of who you are, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So it is this massive task that we have to do, and it is to repent. It is not to stop doing anything. It is to change the way we see ourselves. To stop being J.H., to stop being Christy, to start being the righteousness of God. To be a... He who comes to Christ is a new creation. To be a new creation. To be made new. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be life. To be salt. To be light. So for us to stop sinning is simply to stop thinking about sin and start thinking about who God says you are. Because that is what repentance is. Change the way you think. Change the way how God sees you as His child. Turn off the flippant TV. Turn off the radio. Stop buying those stupid magazines about celebs or whoever they think they are. Stop doing all of that stuff because I know we compare ourselves. Oh, look at that house. It's great to have a big house. I want one too because I want to have a lot of kids. My wife knows this, so it's all right. Hallelujah. In 2 years' time. There's a reason I'm saying this. It's nothing wrong with having great stuff. But if that is our need and our desire, it's from the enemy and it's there to preoccupy us. Because if we think we only be happy when we have that 2,000 square meter house, I guarantee it you'll probably get it, like when you're 70 years old, right? And then you'll realize, yes, I've missed all of this stuff. When you're 70, it's great. There's still 40 years of life left. It's not like you're dying. It's just like you've missed all this stuff because you've been following this dream, this idol. And I promise you'll get that house and you'll still feel empty because you will have no one in that house with you. Because you've probably become bitter and old and a nasty person who no one wants to be with. God gives good gifts. We have a lacquer house in Pretoria. 80% of the stuff in it is what we've been given. Because my dad is very rich. He's God. All right? God gives us what we need and even what we want. I wanted for a long time, that's good, lacquer fleshly. I've wanted for a long time a lacquer Weber gas braai where obviously you can do some choppies and pizzas and everything on it. But it's expensive, right? And I was like, I will never, as soon as I have the money, I'll just give it away. Because obviously for someone just to have underpants is way more important for me to have my Weber, all right? So we got given 40,000 Rand by someone just because we're awesome. And then my wife forced me to go and buy the Weber braai because she knows it's a desire of my heart. I was just like, there's no way I will ever buy this. And then God sort of forces me to get the stuff which I really want because we also get so in this mode of just wanting to give everything away, which is also not from God. I love my Weber. But if it's stolen, if I get back to Pretoria tomorrow night and if it's gone, it won't change who I am. It will suck. But it won't change who I am. I'll still be the son of God. And you know what? God will give me a bigger briar. And if he doesn't, that's amazing too. Because we're moving to George. It's great. I'm happy. All right? So we need to change the way we see ourselves, church. And it doesn't matter how old, how young, how amazing, how smart, however it is you think you are. Stop thinking about your age. Stop thinking about your finances. Stop thinking about your family for a second. Think about yourself. I want you to, when we're done with church, yeah? Most of us do it anyway, it's great. Just do it today with a different purpose. Go back home or go to the car. Go to this bathroom here and go stand in front of the mirror. Look at yourself. And tell your eyes and your mind to shut up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not yet seen. Because this will be a challenge for us. We need to, in faith, start to see ourselves the way that God sees us. Perfect, holy, blameless, the righteousness of God. A son, adopted, a co-heir with Christ in the heavenly places, a purpose, a calling, a destiny, a family. See that when you look at yourself in the mirror. Not the pimple, not the hair, not the gray hairs. Let our primary identity be children of God. I want to read us some more scriptures. I'm almost done. Don't worry. The introduction. I've read this one before. And the tool we need to use, which is great, God gives us tools because he knows we will struggle with this. We all know Romans 12 verse 2, right? Do not be conformed by the things of this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Christ. So what needs to happen is, church, we need to start grafting. We need to start deliberately repent. Repentance is not a prayer. Lord, I repent. This afternoon, you repent of the same thing. We've been busy for 5 years of repenting, but not repenting. We just, God is just like, what are you doing? We need to change the way we think. So this is a new habit we need to form. You need to go and meditate. You need to go sit down. You need to go write down. Make it however practical it is, you need to make it for yourself to do this. You need to write, I love this, write down the way you see yourself currently, the things you've attached your identity to. And this needs a lot of prayer because we are deceived by which the way we see ourselves. We think we are amazing people, and we are, it's great. But much of who we think we are is things from the enemy and things from the world. We need to list those, and then just next to it, ask God, God, how do you see me? And then if an angel doesn't appear to you like you would hope it to in your room and speak to you, just read the Bible out loud because that is hearing God's voice. The word is God. All right? So go read the Bible or the scriptures. If you really want it, email me. I'll email the slides to you. I'll just leave it on the computer there. Write down next to it who God says you are as a child, as a co-heir. And then we need to go and repent. We need to go and renew our minds. We need to go change the way we see ourselves. Because if you're going to wake up every morning being burdened as most of we are, saying, ah, yes, it's a Monday. What do we need to do? We wake up flipping negative and then we hope to have a sunshine day. Come on. So we wake up however it is we feel or think is going to happen. Change that habit as you wake up and see yourself as the way that God sees you. As soon as the enemy comes with a lie, you need to verbally say who God says you are. Because let me tell you honestly, the only reason we sin is because we don't know who we are. My name is Christu. So if you would come to me and call me Vainant, like you can stand there, be Vainant, 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 Vainant. I will not look around and look at you. I'll later be like, who's so irritating? Who's Vainanting this thing this whole time? But I won't think someone is calling me because I'm Christy. The only reason we sin is the enemy is like, go watch the porn, go watch the porn. Go. And you're like, oh yes, I need to go watch the porn. I'll be happy for 2 seconds. And you watch it and then later you repent and then tomorrow you do it again. We only sin because we believe who the enemy says we are, all right? So if the enemy comes to me and say, hey, okay, you need to go do that thing, I'll be like, no, I'm Christy. What? Why? Go look for someone else. That's not me. I'm not this person anymore. I'm not this sinner anymore. I'm not the struggling person with this anymore. I'm not this person labeled with a disease or with a dit or with a dut or with a struggle. There's no hurdle to overcome. So for the first 3 weeks, I promise you, this is going to be difficult because we need to form a new habit in the way we see ourselves. 21 days, a new habit is formed. All right. 3 weeks. I challenge you, start this afternoon. If you're having a nice family dinner, start tonight. Be deliberate in changing the way to see yourself, how God sees you. Because you know what the fruit thereof will be? Holiness. When everything inside of you knows that you are the Son of God, you won't respond to someone calling you Vainant. You won't respond to someone calling you a sinner. You won't respond to someone saying, hey, bro, you just need to do that and that, and then you are like, what are you talking about? I don't need to do anything. I'm perfect the way I am. My only desire is to do that which I see the Father do. So everything we do from there is because of a love we have for our Father and not because we need to feel accepted. Because as soon as we start to live holy lives, you know what happens? That veil is taken away. The veil was torn when Jesus died, but you know what? We've placed other veils in the place of that one. The enemy is cunning. He's smart. So we need to take away this fake, false veil which we make or made to believe that is there. And you know what the fruit thereof will be? Intimacy with God. Not an airy-fairy one. Not something that's in our head. Not a desire, a reality. God is alive. God wants to know you. But I don't know if God would manifest his presence in this place, you know what would happen to most of us? We'll die. But God is not like, yes, I don't want to be with him. He's, I want to be with you. Come on, church. Be spotless. Be blameless. Be holy. Be without sin. I don't remember it. I've removed it. So let us see ourselves the way that God does. Because we will start living lives of holiness. Lives imitating the lifestyle of Jesus. We will live lives that are reflecting and giving honor to the blood of Jesus Christ. So I really want to, I lay this challenge before all of you. If you don't want to do it, that's your problem. But I know this is what we need to do. It's an exercise. And you know what? There's probably some scientists or really smart people here. But just as the last thing I want to say, like with our brains, when we start to do something new, when we deliberately choose to replace an old habit with a new one, there's a new pathway formed in our brain, right? So let's, for this exercise, let's say your desire is to stop smoking. And your habit is you get out of bed or you shower and then you rookie enchi or whatever it is. You need to deliberately for 21 days say, okay, no, I'm not picking up the ciggy. I'm picking up this apple. And you eat the apple. So now for the next couple of weeks, it is a deliberate choice you need to do. Instead of the cigarette, eat the apple. And now there are two broad pathways. So you have two choices to now do. Instead of this action. You know what? Eventually, when the new habit is formed, it will be your first nature to come to the table and to grab the apple. It will no longer be, no, not the cigarette, the apple. Then it will just be the apple. And this is the same thing. And then your brain destroys the old pathway. The same is with our identities. Why Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind. Change the way you think. Church, repent. See yourself the way that God does. It's going to be tough in the first while because we've been doing it for so long. We've believed it for so long. But give it 3 weeks. And I'll promise you, sin will start vanishing from your life because your focus is who God says you are and not who you're trying to become. Let's stand together and pray. Father, I truly thank you, Lord, that you have overcome, you have brought us free, that blood that was spilled has cleansed us from our sins. That which we have done, that which we will do, it is cleansed, it is removed, it is not remembered, it is forgotten. Father, I pray that you would give us this gift to start forgetting our sin. Lord, we want to be like you and not remember our transgressions anymore. Father, I pray that as by your guidance, through your Spirit, we will go from this place, Lord, and be deliberate about repenting. That we will be deliberate about renewing our minds. That we will be transformed and no longer conformed to this world. And Lord, we will be so free from who people say we are and what they think. We will be so free of the standards of the world that we will have an eternal peace, an eternal identity, an eternal love because of what you have done on the cross, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come and bring us to scriptures, bring us to truth, bring us to a revelation of who you say we are, that we can replace who we think we are with who you say we know, you know, and who we are. Father, you made us, you've called us, you've predestined us. Help us to see that. Holy Spirit, I just command every eye to be opened in this place. We will no longer see the old, we will no longer see the sin, but we will see you more clearly than ever. Father, I pray for a grace that in this time you will speak clearer than ever, louder than ever, Father, that we can see you and replace all of this baggage, this sin, this condemnation, this guilt, this burden, this veil. Come and replace it, Lord, with you. Father, we want to be the moth in the flame and not to die. We want to be in your presence because we are worthy to be there. So every eye be opened, every false doctrine be removed, every old identity, every old belief. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let us be a church who is blameless, spotless, and who is holy. Lord, let us be a church that reflects you and your love. Because what this world needs is Jesus, and not a hypocritical church. It needs Jesus. So Lord, help us to be your hands, your feet, just as you were to serve us. We want to serve this world. So come and remove who we think we are. Replace it with you, who you say we are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, church. What a blessing you guys are. If you guys need any prayer for whatever, some healing spiritually, emotionally, you can just come to the front. There's amazing people to pray. Otherwise, let's have some coffee and tea and fellowship. And like a Sunday, let's enjoy family. Thank you, guys.